Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
And he is the SEC Network lead host, the great Dari Noka. Charlatan joins us now on the Technicom hotline. Dari, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate your time, man. I'm getting more excited for the national title game. I'm hoping it's going to be competitive. Can you just guarantee me that? We didn't get a competitive first round. Can you at least guarantee me a competitive national title game?
I don't feel good guaranteeing anything, like about anything, like ever. But I will say this. I feel like it will be. That's the best I'm going to be able to give you. I think it will be. I think that we did not get the best of Georgia that day. I was in Miami and was just blown away by what I saw from that team, start to finish, honestly. I think we'll get a different Georgia. I think I know what Alabama we're going to get. It's a pretty damn good one that's relatively rested, and it's coached by Nick Saban. I think we're going to get a really good Georgia to match that.
Dari, I've said one of my concerns is Stetson Bennett the fourth, not just because he sounds like the best CPA money could buy name, but is it fair to say Georgia is handicapped in this matchup because of Stetson Bennett the fourth's limitations?
No, I don't believe it is. I hear it. I hear it all the time. The dude went out, threw for over 300. He dropped perfect dimes in the hands of everybody from Brock Bowers, his tight end, to his running back, kind of split out guy, James Cook, multiple times the other night, broke what should have been a sack for a 20-yard run. He's so tired of answering the questions about being limited. I don't blame him. I don't know what else he could do. Look, if Alabama, you got to deal with 31 Will Robinson. Will Robinson breaks free. JT Daniels is not going to make a potentially positive play. Stetson Bennett could. There's a confidence that everybody on that offense has in Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett has been nothing but good. I'm not going to sit here and say he's been great all year. He's been very good, surrounded by fantastic talent and the best defense in the country. So he had a down game, threw a couple of picks against Alabama. You know how many he's thrown before that? Three. He's thrown five picks this season. I don't know what else the guy can do to get a little bit of credit, to be, you know, to be given the opportunity to be the guy without having to go out and say, I'm the guy until I'm not the guy, and maybe they're looking for a reason to pull me. I think Stetson Bennett is a national championship-level player because of the cast around him and because of the fact that he's not going to make any critical mistakes. I wouldn't consider JT Daniels for this game. It's Stetson Bennett's job. I think he's earned it.
Dari Noka, SEC Network lead host on the Technicom hotline here with Nick Wilson, getting ready for the national title game here. So if Stetson Bennett the fourth isn't a limitation, as you've said, what does Georgia have to do to avoid another beatdown?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got to get pressure on Bryce Young, which they did. They did not turn Alabama over, which they had done all year, and they did not get any sacks, which they had done all year. So it's get pressure on Stetson Bennett. I don't know how you draw it up. You know, I assume Kirby and Dan Lanning will come up with something. Look, Michigan had given up 10 sacks all year. They gave up 4 to Georgia. Michigan had not had a 3 turnover game all year. They turned it over 3 times against Georgia. Georgia dialed up pressure in ways that Michigan had not seen it. I'm going to trust that that group with those coaches are going to do the same with Alabama. They're not going to have another no sack day. And I'd be surprised if they have another no turnover day. So that's part one. Find a way to get pressure on Bryce Young. Alabama's offensive line is good. It's not great. They should be able to do that. I certainly think that they will. The other part about it is, you've got to just be comfortable doing what you do offensively. Balance, run, and pass, which I think that they can do. I think Alabama's not 100% healthy on defense, especially in the secondary. So use James Cook the way that they used him against Michigan. He's a tailback, yes. He's a very dangerous pass catcher, and you saw him get free for a couple of big passes down the sideline. Use him. I don't know that there's an answer for Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers should be option number one James Cook should be option number two, and you've got a healthier George Pickens now, who's, you know, over a month removed from his first game back, which was the SEC championship game. Find your receivers, utilize them in space, get them in space. I think Georgia can do that. But most importantly, they've got to make Bryce Young feel uncomfortable, and I just expect that to happen.
Dari, you look at this, because these are two teams, the ilk of these two teams, there are just tremendous players across the board. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, some of the names we're going to be talking about for Georgia. Will Anderson, Evan Neal for Alabama, who I, as a Panther observer, have a bit of a crush on. I can say that. I'm confident in who I am, Dari. I'm curious,
who do
you think is the absolute best player from all the teams in this game?
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh. Can I give you an offensive and a defensive?
I'll allow it.
Okay. I voted Will Anderson Jr. second in the Heisman, in my Heisman ballot. I think he should have been a finalist. I think he's the best defensive player in the country. All apologies to Aiden Hutchinson. I think Will Anderson is an absolute beast who cannot be blocked by one individual human being. I think he's the best defensive player on the field, and Georgia's got a ton of them, but I'll go with Alabama's linebacker as the best. My favorite offensive player, to be quite honest, all right, see, I can't even do that. Jameson Williams is the biggest game breaker. If Alabama beats Georgia again, he's going to have a couple of big-time, big-play touchdowns. But I you want a crush for me? I got the freshman Brock Bowers. I've had a conversation with Mel Kiper, my ESPN radio co-host. He thinks Bowers, in 2 years, will be the highest tight end ever drafted, okay, ever. He thinks Bowers could be a top-three pick this year. He's a freshman. The highest tight end ever drafted was Kyle Pitts to Atlanta last year at 4. Bowers is a top three guy in 2 years. I think, and Mel thinks he's a top three guy now. He's a matchup nightmare. The dude loves to block at the end of the line of scrimmage. That's one thing. But he's got amazing hands, and I'll use the stereotype. You look at Brock Bowers, you don't think he's fast. For whatever reason, dude can flat out fly. So he's got hands, he's got speed, and oh, by the way, he'll drop the shoulder and he'll lay you out if you're trying to tackle him by yourself. So look, that to me is the most dangerous weapon Georgia's got. I know I've violated your rule. I went with two offensive players, but he's my favorite offensive player in this game. I'll just put it that way.
For you, I'll allow it this one time. ESPN and SEC Network host Dari Noka on the Technicom Hotline. And Dari, as we talk about the national title game, there's been so much talk about the SEC dominance, and this is not the first all-SEC national title game we've seen. Do you think that the SEC dominance is bad for college football?
Well, no. I think what's bad for college football is the free agency that we have. And I'm not saying players shouldn't have the right to do that, but I think that's more of an issue for college football, quite frankly. And I think it's more of an issue because we're going to continue to see great players from other leagues come into the SEC. So I don't think the SEC dominance in itself is bad for college football. I think that in conjunction with what we're seeing from transfers and where many of them are ending up, like a former number two recruit, Zach Evans, running back TCU, who just today said, "I'm going to Ole Miss," like that's a problem. So, you know, but I also don't think that we're sitting here locked into this world where only SEC teams are going to be good. Clemson certainly has had its run. I think that we're going to see programs emerge across the country. The Big Ten is there. You know, I think Ohio State could have beaten Georgia. They just didn't beat Michigan. Why? Because Ohio State has weapons on the outside that Georgia can't cover man for man and was a real problem. Michigan was just a horrific nightmare. Matchup. It was a bad matchup for a Michigan team. I think there are teams around the country. We'll see what Lincoln Riley does at USC, although I certainly can't really root for the guy right now. But I don't know. The SEC dominance is something we're used to. I don't necessarily think it's bad for college football. I don't think it's impossible for other programs to catch up. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Dari, I'm glad you mentioned quarterback free agency. Your school, you're an Oklahoma alum. This week, the story has been Caleb Williams, and it really just seems as if once Brett Venable got hired, that all the sharks came out trying to get, with the chum in the water, trying to go after Caleb Williams. What do you make of his entering the transfer portal, and where do you think he might end up?
So this is the old NIL. This is the whole NIL thing, right? This is where it becomes problematic. Caleb Williams, former number one quarterback, superstar. We saw what he did as a freshman this year. He's a free agent. Why is he a free agent? Well, my opinion is his name's out there not to see necessarily what program is the best fit, but what program can come to him with the most NIL money. This is where I think we're headed. I think if he were going to go to Southern Cal with Lincoln Riley, he may have already done it. I truly think, and I don't think this is the last time we're going to see this, but I think Caleb wants to see what kind of dollar opportunities he can have to go somewhere that, yes, still will make sense from a college football perspective. Where that'll be, I don't know. Georgia is a possibility, and I keep hearing that as a possibility. Southern Cal, I suspect, is a possibility. He can do really well in Los Angeles. One program I haven't heard mentioned that is just in the back of my head is Notre Dame. There's all kinds of NIL potential for the starting quarterback at Notre Dame, who happens to be in need of a new starting quarterback. So, look, I think it could be one of those types of places. I don't think it's Oklahoma, even though he has said the right thing, that Oklahoma's not out of the mix. Because once Caleb hit that portal, Dylan Gabriel, former UCF quarterback who had kind of committed to UCLA as a transfer, immediately locked in with Oklahoma. So my gut is everybody knows Caleb's gone. I just don't know where he'll go. Gabriel is a Sooner. Would make it a little tougher, I think, for Caleb to come back.
Dari, every time we have these big changes, these seismic changes in college football, the college football playoff, we always end up dealing with unintended consequences, and then we try and fix it, right? The unintended consequence of having four teams is trying to expand it. Is there a fix of the unintended consequence of NIL, which for a lot of people is quarterback free agency or the portal gone wild?
Yeah, and it isn't just quarterbacks, but those are, you know, Nick, those are the ones that we talk about the most. Those are the biggest impact guys for the most part, although I would argue Jamison Williams was as big an impact as anybody in the country as a transfer last year from Ohio State to Alabama. Is there a fix? No, you're not going to tell these guys, yes, you can make money. Oh, wait, no, that's bad for the sport, which has for years been bad for you, in all honesty. Now you can't make money. The old toothpaste is out of the tube thing. You can't put it back in. I think that's where we are with this. The one-time transfers. So here's the thing. We've gone to two things at once that has really, really wrecked, I think, what a lot of us more conservative, traditionalist college football fans like. If you just go NIL, like you go to a school, you can't transfer out now without missing a year of eligibility, but you can make money from outside sources. That's a, you know what, we can manage that. Or if you say, look, you can go to a school, but you do get one free transfer, but the NIL thing doesn't exist, I think we can deal with that to some degree. Yes, it would still be somewhat free agency, but now you're not dealing with outside businesses working with programs saying, okay, if you get him here, we'll pay him this, which gives you the edge. But now you're doubling up. You can go make whatever money you want to go make, and you can leave the school that you committed to and actually signed with. Now you've got a world of trouble that just, frankly, it hit us all at once. And no, I mean, these are things that are good for the athlete, good for the quote-unquote student athlete. All of a sudden, after years of many people feeling like they were working for free and that the scholarship they got wasn't enough, now you're going to tell them, we went too far. You can't do it. We're screwed. We just got to figure out how to manage it the best we can. And, quite frankly, change our expectations. Look, we got used to college basketball being a world of one and done. We're going to have to get used to football being what it is, too. We see trades all the time in every other sport. But it almost feels like we're dealing with that a little bit here.